Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
We're in week two of Games People Play, and so we're going to kind of looking at a couple different passages of Scripture today. But how many have ever had relationship with someone where it just kind of felt like they were always trying to maybe one up you? Like, you're sharing something, and they're like, oh, yeah, but, you know, this happened to me or whatever, and you're just like, man, this is not, like, a competition thing, but you always kind of felt like they were trying to one-up you, or maybe even more so that you felt like they were just always trying to mess with you. They were just like trying to get under your skin. Have you ever known anyone like that? And you're just like, the person that sits next to me in my junior high math class or whatever. It looks like this person. Remember this gal back in the day, right? Nellie from Little House on the Prairie. It's just like, man, how many just honestly, the spirit of slap comes over you right now when you see that face or whatever. Just, you know, that individual. Well, today, and this series isn't about people playing or messing with you. When you hear the subject of games people play, it's not about that. It's about using the board games that are so popular, or maybe even some of the modern games, and just making scriptural applications and drawing bringing those games into some principles within the Bible to have some fun. Last week we talked about Connect Four, and so today we're gonna use the game Pictionary. How many ever played the game Pictionary and you've played with someone before and you're just like, I don't like playing with you because you cannot draw. And you get frustrated, so you're like, I just don't play that game anyway. But the big idea, listen to me this morning, the big idea, really the heart of today, is about finding the will of God for your life. And it seems like the quest of finding and doing God's will can be overwhelming. You know, we ask ourselves these questions like, am I in God's will right now? Is this God's will for my life? How do I know the will of God? What if I mess up the will of God for my life? Then what do I do? You wrestle with those questions, and in the background of your mind, at least in my mind as I was preparing a couple weeks ago and just thinking about this message this week, the classic song from 1982 came into play in my mind from Queen, Under Pressure. Because sometimes when you're searching out and trying to fill and find the will of God for an area of your life, man, it just feels like pressure, and you are paralyzed by the analysis of paralysis. And you become afraid to move. And in my years of ministry, as I was thinking about this as a youth pastor and even as a lead pastor, sitting down in quote-unquote counseling sessions where people would come to you and say, hey, you know, I want to talk to you, I want to meet with you about a situation or a dream or what my future's going to be. I think this question of the will of God comes up probably more than any. Somewhere in the conversation, you find this question. Because people stress over wanting to get it right. And I get that. I want that for my life. I want that for you. And there's this tension of what God is saying. You know, we've all been there, right? God, what do you want me to do? Should I move here? Should I move and take that job in Arkansas? No, don't go to Arkansas. Just don't do it, all right? I'm just kidding. Should I take this next step in this relationship that I'm in? God, is that your will? There can be this idea as we talk about this subject this morning, and by no means are we going to be able to cover the breadth of this subject, but as we talk about this idea in their life, in our life, the idea of the will of God, sometimes it kind of maybe will come across a little bit spooky for people. And we're looking for a sign everywhere, right? Just for some fun. Because you've heard me talk about this, so I'll use myself as an example. Lord, I want to buy a Jeep. Is it your will that I buy that red Jeep? Yes. Yes, Lord. And so I'm praying that, right? I go out and I'm running around town. And it's like every other vehicle is a Jeep. And Lord, I'm like sitting at the stoplight and I'm thinking about what I prayed earlier in the day. And I'm thinking, Lord, I see the Jeeps. And I believe that's you speaking to me. Lord, I believe that you are saying, see that which I am placing before you, take hold of it. Now, probably not the wisest way about finding the will of God, determining the will of God for your life on such a purchase. True? But just for fun, just case in point, because sometimes we get kind of like, you know, it's there everywhere, and now I see it because it's like something that I had been desiring, and so now I'm more aware of it, so therefore God must be speaking. I'd be careful about that. Although, a red Jeep. Another idea is in finding the will of God in our life, finding it out in our life, is this idea that it's a workout to find out the will of God, that you have to strain. It's like you better stretch. I mean, you better like find a physical trainer, a personal trainer that comes from Germany, and her name is Hilga, and she's rough, and she's tough, and she's mean, and she's just like ugly, and she's going to work you through that physical workout and give you excruciating pain, because finding the will of God for you should be very difficult, kind of like working out in the gym. And there's that mindset that people can get. And yet, in my heart and in my mind, I hear the words of Jesus from the Message paraphrase. And granted, he's not talking about discovering the will of God, but he is talking about coming away and being with him. And I love how the Message puts it. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let me ask you a question as we talk about this subject this morning. Does that describe more often than not your relationship with Jesus, where it's just kind of this friendly volley back and forth of you discovering his plans and his purposes for your life and his direction for your life, where there's this interaction going on with you? Because I think that's God's heart for us. And granted, I understand there's seasons where there is intense seeking and fasting and praying, trying to grab a hold and know the heart of God in our life. And I get that. But yet, even within that, there should be. You read Matthew 11, and there is this, it is just oozing with relationship. And finding the will of God flows from that relationship in our life. And as we talk about the will of God this morning, there's really three genres of the will of God that as you interact with people. The first one is this: God isn't interested in our lives. That he's busy, he's disconnected from you. He gave us his word, obey his word, and someday you'll meet him. However, don't think that he's involved in your day-to-day life. Don't really think that he's too engaged with you and too concerned about what your future is. There's that idea, which is prevalent in some schools. There is the second one that is that it's somewhat connected to the first, but goes way beyond that, that God is big, that God is awesome, that he's holy, that he's involved. He proved his involvement in our life and that he wanted relationship with you, so he sent Jesus so that you could have relationship with God. And he wants to redeem you back to him in relationship. There's that. That truth, that reality, if you're here this morning and you're like, man, I'm just here and I'm not sure quite why I came, but I find myself here, and that's where God wants to start with you. He wants to start with that relationship with you, that you would receive that which he's provided for you. There's the third view, and the third view would say something like this, man, you need to pray. You need to pray about everything. That everything is spiritual. That, man, when you drive up to Sonic tomorrow or today during happy hour, and you're thinking, I'm going to order a Route 44, before you order that Route 44, you better stop and you better pray, Lord, what type of Route 44 do you want me to have? That you're going to go to Kohl's because you need a pair of jeans, new pair of pants, and you better pray, God, do I need to go with Wrangler Ropers or do I need to go with the high-waisted because that's the new look, although it was back with us 30 years ago. Or maybe I should just go with the corduroy, Lord, because it's going to come back too. Right? Some of you are like, what's corduroy? Just wait. You know, as I look at those three options, I find myself camping out or landing between two and three. I try not to be too spooky, if you will, although I believe God speaks. God has a specific will for my life, that I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they're active for me personally. The gifts of the Spirit that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, I believe those are prevalent for today and for the church today, and that God uses them, that God uses dreams, that God uses encounters with people to speak into your life so that you and I can discover his will for life. I do believe that you can discern the will of God for your life and that you can walk in the will of God. And there is nothing like the confidence that that brings you, that when you know that you know that you know that you know that you're walking in the will of God. That is so fun when you have those moments, when you have those seasons, and note that you know that you're supposed to be there, that you know that you're supposed to be doing what you're doing, that you know that you're supposed to be in that relationship. Although I would be amiss if I would have told you every season of our life, every season of my life, it's been always very clear and very, very like, this is thus saith the Lord. How many know sometimes faith says you need to step and then you'll discover exactly what my plan is for you. There's that element, there's that truth of that. I think was thinking about this just examples. When Robin and I, we, as you know, we pastored in Goodland, Kansas, her home church, her hometown, 3 hours from my parents, and I mean, we were breathing Colorado air coming across the state line. It was like best of both worlds, man. And so we were in a sweet season of ministry, and a friend of mine was like, hey, I'd like to offer you a position. Come on staff with me and oversee, be my life group pastor and do assimilation, and you can preach often. And this guy, he's like a spiritual father to me. And so Rob and I started talking about that and started praying, and they invited us. We went, and we looked at their church in Topeka, and we were like, yeah, we'll come. And I went home, and it was right before Christmas. And that, yeah, we'll come was, nothing was written on the wall. It was just like, okay, I think this is what we need to do. And I couldn't bring myself. I'd have a board meeting, like, the following Tuesday. I couldn't bring myself to resign. Another week came by. I was like, I need to call the elders together. I need to tell them. Couldn't bring myself to do it. Couldn't look at my kids in the eyes and bring myself to tell them, hey, we're going to relocate. You're not going to be around Grandma and Grandpa anymore. We're moving you to this long-lost place that's deserted and desolate called Topeka, Kansas. And I couldn't do it. So finally, I called Bo, and I said, look, I called him on New Year's Eve. I said, we're not coming. He's like, what? said, we're not coming. It was back in November when we came to visit you, and we said that we would come, and I've not told a soul that we were going there, and I just can't bring myself to come. For whatever reason, we're not doing it. Well, long story short, 4 months later, we had this, we saw him, we came into contact again. He's like, oh, by the way, that position's still open if you want it. And that just kind of opened up the can of worms again. But in that window, God spoke something to me laying in bed during the night that I knew that I could hang my hand on, because I knew that there would be seasons in that time of ministry that would be difficult. And if I didn't know that I knew that I knew that God directed me there, it would be a mess. And God spoke to me very specifically some passages of scripture, and then I was like, okay, we're good. We can go now. And went home, resigned, we moved there, and guess what? I'm so thankful that I had those passages of scripture. I'm so thankful that I had those truths that I felt like God had spoken to us to hang on to, because guess what? There were some storms. There were some hard times. There were some frustrations, and there was moments where you go, did we miss it? Did I miss the will of God in moving my family here? Sometimes we still look back and, oh, it would have been so easy if we could just erase that. Because there were some difficult times. But yet in that difficult season, there was such molding going on and such things God was doing in our life that we look back and go, yeah, we were good. When we're glad that we experienced that season. And by no means, if any of my Topeka friends are watching online, by no means it wasn't a horrible experience, but there was this windows in there where it was difficult, you know? So let's talk about the game itself, all right? If you're taking notes, write this down, and it's the game itself, all right? So two teams. With multiple people on those teams, they pick a card, and one person on each team looks at what is on the card and says, "Okay, now you draw what is on the card." So we're gonna play the game real quick, and so let's see. Let's see, who do I want to call out here this morning, man? Bill, why don't you come up on this is Bill. He's an incredible, incredible artist. Phil, come on. Come on, Phil. All right, come right over here, all right? And so this is Team Bill. Team Phil. All right? All right. So, and the idea with Pictionary, in case you've never played it, is that you try to draw what is on the card as fast as you can, and your team, As soon as you want to jump in, you dive in, you start calling out what you think this thing is. Now, this isn't too difficult. Okay? And you start calling out. And so you got to be loud, and you got to listen as you're drawing. Okay? Because I'll help you listen. But are you ready? Are you nervous?
Yeah. You going to tell us when to start?
Are you nervous?
A little bit.
All right.
Together now?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't say it, though. Can you see it? Mm-hmm. You're doing the 40-man-year-old thing. All right, okay. All right, you got it? Mm-hmm. All right. On my go. This, Team Bill? Team Phil. That wasn't planned, but that sounds pretty good, all right? All right, so ready? Go. Who said starfish? You guys, team Phil? How did you get that? How is that a starfish? Did you look? Okay. How? Phil. Were you looking? You couldn't see. Oh. There's no retry, so Team Phil, you're the champions. Give it up for our incredible artists. But here's the deal. If you draw slow in that game, most likely you're not going to win, right? And what happens when you draw the first line? Guess, I mean, we saw it here, even though this side, you know, you couldn't see it very well. But the minute when you're playing the game, what happens? You start drawing, people start shouting stuff out, right? It's a line. So all of a sudden you're just like, man, that's a jet plane. Or you know, it's a circle. Oh, man, that's a ribeye steak or whatever. And people start shouting stuff out. And sometimes that's how we are with God. God begins to draw something in our life, and we start shouting stuff out that what we think it is, or maybe even more, what we want it to be. And God is going, hey, give me some opportunity to draw a little bit more and put a little bit more down for you. Everyone in the room is yelling and trying to guess the picture. And isn't that what's happening in our culture today? There are so many voices screaming at you on what to do with your life, how to respond, what values you should have, what morals you should have, what convictions you should have. And everyone has a conviction on how you should live your life. Right? Don't tell me. I have a conviction how you should live your life as a follower of Jesus. I have a conviction how I should live my life, how my wife and how my kids depending on the voices, if you're listening to our culture, that conviction is going to leave God out of the equation, and it's going to be, well, how's it feel to you? What do you want to do? And today we're going to try to discover how you and I can dial in and sense how the Lord is directing us. Mother Teresa said this: faithful in the small things because it is in them that your strength lies. So as you and I are trying to walk out the will of God in our life, can I just encourage you to be faithful in the small things? One person put it this way: do today what you can do to enable you to do tomorrow what you can't do today. Because God doesn't reveal the whole picture all at once in your life. And so be faithful with what you know to do today. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a moment. But let me just talk to you about the power of vision. We need to begin to discover by asking this question. And I encourage all of us to answer this question as we go through this morning. And here's the question: does God truly have a plan for your life? You look at your life, look at you. You look at where you're at in life. How many know your age doesn't determine the prerequisite? Does God have a plan for your life? Doesn't matter what you're, absolutely. Did you just take a breath? Mm-hmm. We hope, right? If you just took a breath, God has a plan for your life. So we hear yes and right away, but what level? And I want to just kind of cause us to wrestle with some of this stuff this morning. What level is that plan? Is it a daily plan? How detailed is the plan of God for your life? I mean, that's a big question. And depending on your theology, how you're going to answer that question is influenced by your theology and your background. If you come from a Calvinist background, and if you're a five-point Calvinist, which would say that God predestines everything, that's an influence how you answer that question. If you come from an Arminian background that says that you have a free will and you make decisions, it's not that God made those decisions. God knew what you were going to decide, but he didn't dictate those decisions. You made them. Therefore, you're responsible for your decision. I mean, put it this way, all right? So a Calvinist believes that God predestines everything. You're just kind of a piece on the game board and going hopefully to the end. But just to have some fun, you've heard it said perhaps that, you know, there's a Calvinist and there's this Arminian, right? And they both get up in the morning, they're heading down the stairs. The Calvinist falls down the stairs and he says, oh man, I'm glad that's over with. The Arminian goes down the same stairs, and he falls down, and he's like, man, I am so stupid. I can't believe I did that again. That's kind of the differences between the two camps, that God lays out everything, and you're not responsible. You're just like, you're in the back seat riding in the car, and what happens, where the other one says, no, you have a role to play in this thing. So let me just kind of talk to you about the umbrella of the will of God. There's what part of that umbrella, if you can envision an umbrella in your mind, the sections, you know, as you pop it open, there's kind of the support system, and you can kind of see the pie, if you will, in your mind. There's the revealed will of God. It's opening in the scripture and seeing what God has revealed to us, and it's you and I following what scripture has spoken to us, that you would love your neighbor as yourself, that you would live with integrity, that you would be a responsible citizen, that you would work hard, that you would be generous, that you would be faithful in worship, and that if that there's something in scripture that says, man, you shouldn't do that, then the revealed will of God would be, you know, don't participate in sin. I mean, it's really, really rather simple. And how many know, you don't have to pray about obeying, should I or shouldn't I obey the revealed will of God? There is no secret what the will of God is in your life as it pertains to relationship and purity in relationship. There is no secret what the will of God is for husbands on how you are to treat your wife. It is plain and simple. Ladies, there is no secret on how you are to treat your husband and respond to your husband in scripture. It's plain and simple. And on we could give. I mean, it's plain and simple within scripture that drunkenness is a sin, that as a follower of Jesus, that don't give yourself to drunkenness. Prayer, on and on. We could go on and on. But the blockage in hearing the specific will of God, I think, often comes if we aren't following the revealed will of God. How come God's not speaking to me? Well, how are you doing with the revealed? Why would you expect God to speak a specific will of God to you if you're not being obedient to the revealed will of God in your life? And the key to hearing the will of God for your life is to obey the revealed will of God for your life. God's vision for your life is going to involve these aspects of the umbrella as well. Another one is this, and the will of God involves your natural strengths. All right? Think about Moses leading Israel. God saw within Moses ability and talents in leading Israel, so he used his natural strengths. The will of God also involves relationships with other people. How many know there are no lone rangers in this place? God wants to put people around you. You may have a single-minded vision, but it's going to take other people to bring it to pass. Why is that important for us? To remind us that we aren't alone, that we can't do this alone. I mean, I just mentioned Moses, but it was Moses' father-in-law who came to him and said, look, son, man, in Exodus 18, you're doing it all wrong. You're gonna burn yourself out. You're going to kill the people. You need to restructure it, and you need to realign it. And Moses did so, and he did less, not more, and the result was he was able to do more. So going on, God's vision is never going to be in the timing you think it is. It doesn't always work out like we think it should. Are you okay with that? Sometimes it does. But think about Joseph in Genesis and the process of time for the vision, the dream that God had given Joseph for it to come to pass. You know what? It was a 20-year process for Moses to see the fruition of that dream come to pass, or excuse me, Joseph to see that dream to come to pass in his life. I just want to admonish some of us that are praying for family members that are far from God right now. And you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've not seen anything happen yet. I want to remind you, and I want to encourage you this morning to keep praying. Because it only takes a moment. And you don't know where they're at, but you're praying, you're planting seed, and eventually, in the name of Jesus, may that seed come up. Number three is the power of imagination. Pictionary, the game involves imagination. And what happens in the game is you have to be able to see things that aren't very clear, i.e., whatever that thing was over there. That starfish, right? And depending on how well you know your teammate, Or if it's your spouse or whatever, you're like, oh, I know what he's trying to draw. It's this, because we're around each other and I know how he thinks, or I know how she thinks. Or you may do symbols, right? Or you may do what's this when you're playing Pictionary? Multiple words, right? What's this? Right? And you have these little symbols and you have these things that you're looking at to discover what is trying to be communicated. And when we're on a journey with God, it isn't always going to be clear writing on the wall. It's nice when that happens. How many have ever experienced it was like, man, God just hit you up on the side of the head with a 2x4 and you knew that you knew what God was saying to you and you're just like, all right, let's roll with it. How many have ever had that happen? Few of us, some of you are getting more confident to raise your hand. I think, I'm not sure, but I'm going to see what happens. And no lightning bolt came, so I guess it, no. You know, so, but how many of us have had, I'm not sure moments, but it could be. Right? We love it when it's clear. We all prefer for it to be clear and easy. And you can walk, though, with confidence. I want to encourage you, because there's some moments, and you've found this to be true already, where you're like, what is the will of God? And you've been seeking it, and you're not sure. It's unclear. But I want to encourage you that even in those moments, you can walk with confidence, and you can do so if you frame it within this frame of Matthew chapter 5:8 and Psalms 37:23. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God, you know my heart, and whatever this decision is, you know what my motives are. God, if my heart is impure, expose that to me, because I don't want to do anything that is that is self-seeking and just about me. God, may my heart be pure. And that's one of the things as we were, in Goodland and looking why does this just not feel right now? And that was one of the questions. And we sat down with friends and we got counsel. Hey, this is kind of some things that we're walking through right now and this opportunity and we're just not sure. And this was some of the counsel. And we were doing this beforehand, but blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. God, you know my motives. You know this relationship. You know this decision that I'm about ready to make. You know my why. And if my heart is pure before you, then God, give me the courage to step, because sometimes you just don't know. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. So the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord is another passage of scripture. Because here's the deal. Go up and go to the next slide, if you would, Tira. I love how the message puts it. The stalwart walks in the steps with God. His path blazed by God. He's happy. If he stumbles, he's not down for long. God has a grip on his hand. See, God's will for your life is not always a go to Nineveh moment where you just know that you know that you know. Yet it's a process of God using your gift set, your relationships, and trusting the timing and moving forward. Listen, if you're not being careless, if you're not making a poor financial decision, I'm going to go buy a red Jeep today, would be a poor financial decision, because Tempa kind of has it looks red from here, but you know she has a red sweater on, so that is the color of Jeep that I'm getting. I mean, that would be like a bad decision in many ways. But when you change your perspective and view, guess what happens? You gather more information. And you're able to discern the will of God and you're listening to his voice. And the good news is this, using this analogy of Pictionary, God isn't playing a game with your life. But he does have a future for your life. One person said, God's will is like a jigsaw puzzle. Until you put all the pieces in, you won't be able to see the whole picture. You know, once in a while, we'll do a puzzle It's about puzzle season because it's Christmas, or it's getting cold and dark, and we're going to get a lot of snow this winter, right? And so it's puzzle weather coming up, right? And you sit down and you get that border put together because that's the easiest thing usually put together, and you put it down, and then you start working at it, and it's like, man, nothing's coming together, right? So what do? You get up, you walk away, and you go do something else, and then you come back, and it's like all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. And you're like, oh, yeah. And then you sit there a little bit longer, and then you start getting frustrated again. So you walk away. Maybe you walk away for a day. Maybe you walk away for a week. Maybe a month, and you come back, and all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. And sometimes that describes walking out the will of God in your life. It's just piece by piece. It's day by day. Sometimes you go a span of time and you're like, God, what's next? You're seeking him. You're praying about your future. You're meeting different people. You're open to just different direction, and it gives you a different piece of the puzzle. How many are drawing a picture with your life? And you're like, this is my plan. I think it's important that we ask God's picture for us. God, is this your plan? And God's plan is that you and I become more like Jesus at the end of the day. Romans 8:38 says this, "For I'm sure that neither death nor height nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." He loves us so much. We sang about it earlier. He doesn't always give us what we want and when you want it. Be careful about saying that what your vision is in life without consulting God, without laying that thing before the Lord. Takes us to the next step in the process. Number four, what happens when we offer the pen to God? I think, if we're all honest, we've all had moments when we're controlling the pen. But what happens when we give God the pen? God, what are you drawing for me? Look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 there. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends what thoughts of God comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. You know what that says to me? Relax. When we give God the pen, you can be confident that he's going to direct us to that perfect place. And that perfect place may be a place that has some storms, may have some hard ground, may have some rough spots in it, but if it's his place for you, guess what? It's the perfect place. And when we give God the pen, these three things will happen at some point in your journey. Maybe you're there right now. First one is this: God is going to draw too slow. God is in a draw too slow. There's a guy, I think it's Geico. There's a Geico commercial. I was going to try to show it to it, but it's called playing Pictionary with a sloth. Have you remember that? Check it out. You can YouTube it. It's absolutely, check this out. Isn't that awesome? How many, sometimes that feels like discerning and following the will of God for your life. God, it's been 5 years. What's the next page? God, it's been 15 years. What's the next page? I mean, just ask Joseph. Why does he do that? Honestly, I can't answer that question. But I can say this, because he wants you to sit back and be still. It's kind of like the air traffic controller. He's in touch with multiple airplanes flying across not only our country, but globally, right? And he's keeping an eye on Delta Flight 132 or United Flight 93 or whatever the scenario may be, right? But that air traffic controller isn't just checking with the plane every 30 seconds or every minute. Hey, flight 112, are you okay up there? It's been 30 seconds since I've talked to you. I haven't heard you breathe yet. Are you okay? Are you breathing? He looks at the monitor. Oh, flight 112, they're going in the, they're head towards Seattle. That's where they're supposed to be going. And they just go. They see the radar and things are looking good and they're not panicked. And so many of us struggle with this because we think that we always have to be doing something to discover the will of God. And you're just living out and you're being obedient. You're walking with a pure heart. You know you're walking confidently at the steps of the righteous or order of the Lord. And so that's the direction God has told me to go. That's what I'm going to walk. I'm not going to have all the details along the way, but I can trust he's going to get on the speaker and let me know, hey, you need to divert, this storm popped up. You need to do this or that. He's going to guide me. I can be confident in that. And all you have is a line that's barely appearing, going slow. And the word of the Lord to you is rest. God, listen to me. If you don't take anything away from today, take this. God is more interested in who you are than what you do. He's not wanting to develop the be. Or excuse me, he's not wanting you to develop the do. He wants to develop the be in you. Just being with him. Just walking with a pure heart before him. And it's challenging. I get it. Number two is God draws way too fast. Sometimes all the doors open up at once and you're like, this is way too easy. Something's wrong. Right? This can't be right. It shouldn't be this easy. I was talking to a friend a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking to me about a scenario, and he was like, this individual, you know, was talking to me. He's like, this is way too easy. It can't be. Can this be God? And my buddy was like, why does it have to be hard all the time? Just a thought. Number three, God draws something we've not seen before. Maybe you've played the game Pictionary. And you're like, someone's up there drawing something, and you're like, what the heck is that? And maybe you felt like God is drawing something and you can't figure it out. And he's taking you or he's wanting to new territory or new relationship or new exposure to something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Sometimes there are moments when we don't see the full picture of God. But God has placed his Spirit within you to help you discern and to walk and to be obedient. And if you don't know what else to do, I just would counsel you, be obedient to the revealed will of God. And walk in that. And God's going to reveal the other portions of the plan. So four things I want you to do this week. They're practical to help you in the journey with God. If you haven't done it already, And think, looking at who's here today, I would say, well, most of us, Steve, I've already done that. But I would encourage you to do it again. And that is simply this: offer God the pen. Don't draw the pictures and ask God to bless it. leave the pen in his hand. God, what's your plan? God, this has been a long season that I've been in. God, my temptation is to take the pen and try to make something out of this. And I don't know if that's what your plan is, but Lord, I don't want to do that. I want to give you the pen. God, in this relationship that I'm in right now, God, my temptation is to take it to another level, but Lord, I want to do what's best for you and my relationship with you. So Lord, here's the pen. Secondly, is to keep seeking. Never grow tired. Never give up. Never, 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 never give up. Keep seeking. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And then the next, number three, is just obey without rushing. And that's hard. But it ties me back to Matthew chapter 11. Enjoy. Can I admonish us to enjoy those Matthew 11 moments where Jesus is just saying, hey, come away with me. And then finally, let others help you. How many know it's lonely out there when you don't let people help you? But Steve, people have hurt me. People have let me down. People have disappointed me. People didn't come through. Not to be harsh with any of us, but welcome to the rest of the world, right? I can remember when I was a single youth pastor. Actually, I had a girlfriend back in Colorado, youth pastoring in Oakley, Kansas, and I took my students to camp, and Robin was the youth leader in Goodland, and she took her students to camp, and man, I was young. I was like 20, just learned how to tie my shoes young. And I had some rough girls in my youth group, and I was like, I don't know how to deal with these girls. And I'm a single guy, so I was like, you know, there's only so much I can do. And I needed help, and Robin and I met at this camp, and I'm like, she's not too far away. Maybe she would come over and like help me with my students, my girls, and because my girls, my rough girls, were in her cabin. It was so awesome. She came walking out of the cabin one time, and like they were like, I don't know if it was just my girls or some of the other. She had like a pod of rough, tough girls, and look at Robin. She's like so innocent, you know. And she came out one time. She was like, I don't want these girls in my cabin, man. They're just like they're cussing and smoking and doing all this stuff. She's like, I don't know what to do with them. And I'm like, I have an idea. Why don't you come over to Oakley, Kansas and help me? And you can like build a relationship with them right now. And then you can come over to Oakley and help me. And you can like be a girl youth sponsor for me. What do you think about that? Good idea, huh? And she was like, yeah, I guess I could do that. I was like, you heard from the Lord. Right? And so she started coming over. And there's a whole lot to this story, which I'm not going to get into all of it. But she started coming over. And I can remember one night after youth group, we would always go to Pizza Hut. And we'd have salad and breadsticks. Because every town in America has a Pizza Hut. And it was late, and we didn't want to like eat a big old Supreme pizza or whatever. So we had salad and breadsticks, and we would talk. And I can remember one night I just was looking at her as she was looking at me. And I'm just kidding. And I had a girlfriend, remind you. I had a girlfriend, and I was being loyal and honoring her. And she knew I had a girlfriend, but we weren't married. And don't get ahead of me. Don't get ahead of me. And I'm just going to leave you hanging. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. And so I'm like, okay, look, I need to talk to you. I got to be honest with you. I need to know where you're at because this is what I'm thinking. And I just kind of put it out on the table that night. And because God had really felt like God was speaking to me about just where I was at and my relationship and Robin and she left after I pitched her a softball pitch, man. And we talked and she left, and I can remember in the back of my mind to this day, shutting the door as she left and going in the house and getting on my knees, having the Bible, and just praying, God, I want to be faithful to you. I want to treat people with honor and respect and dignity, and I don't want to make anything messy, but I need to know what your will is. I need to know what your plan is for this relationship, you know? And God very specifically spoke to me a passage of scripture. And it was before cell phones, right? It was before texting. We used snail mail back then. You know, you had to lick the stamps back then, and it was just gorgeous. And so she got home late at night. I knew I couldn't call her. Or did I call you? Did I call you that night? I think I called her. So she got home late. I'm like, hey, oh, I did, because I left a message on your answer machine. And I said, hey, Robin, this is Steve. So good to see you today. And I'm like, I won't sing that song. But anyway, I said, this is the passage of scripture that I felt like the Lord just spoke to me about us. Here it is. You read it. I didn't try to set it up. I didn't try to paint it to favor what was going on in my heart. And I just put it out there. And she got back to me, and the long story short is she said yes. Yeah. Yay! There's not a girlfriend back in Colorado. No. We walked all that out in an honoring and in a way that honored the Lord, and it was so cool. But let me just say, I say that story to say this. When you give God the pen, okay, he has the people and the power and the resources to make it happen. So rest. And as you rest, you see him move and it becomes more clear and he strengthens you. And don't get in a hurry. And especially to our young people here this morning. You know the ages of our boys. In the stage of life that they're in, there's a lot of pressure to have every chapter written. Just rest. You don't have to have it all figured out right now. Walk with a pure heart, walk in obedience to what you know, and then just keep being faithful. And God will put the puzzles, help you put the puzzles, the pieces together, and you'll see the picture more and more, and you'll be like, okay, it's good. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, I know perhaps some were looking for like big revelation this morning as we talk about the will of God. Maybe that's happened. But Lord, I feel responsible for just giving us tools to, with the best of our abilities, with the purest of heart, purest of motives, to walk after you and to seek you. And God, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and sometimes it's rightly so because there's big decisions. But Lord, at the end of the day, that decision, if we've yielded it to you, then God, we can trust that you have our best in mind. And God, you work all things for good. God, we want to honor you. We want to walk with a pure heart. God, I pray just that I just speak peace into some lives right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray just for stillness, that there wouldn't be panic, there wouldn't be worry, that there wouldn't be comparison to others. God, but it would be just this heart that says, God, I want to walk in purity before you. God, I want to, you know, to my best of my ability, I'm walking in obedience to what you've revealed to me through your word and the things that you've spoken to me in the past. And God, that they would find strength in that. They would find strength in your grace. Find strength in your presence. Find peace. God, not in having it all figured out, but God, in knowing who's holding their pen. And God, for the individual here this morning that maybe just living their life their own way, how they want to live it. And God, they look at their life right now, and God, on the marker board of their life, so to speak, they don't see a clear picture. They just see a bunch of messes because they've taken the pen and they're trying to scribble it all out and make it happen. And God, they're tired and they're frustrated. And God, they feel empty. Lord, if someone's here and that describes their life, God, I pray right where they're at, just in their heart and their mind and their spirit, that they would put the cap on the pen and they would raise it up to you and say, here, Lord, you'll do a much better job than what anything that I could do. God, you'd grant them peace. And in the midst of that peace, you'd give them a joy that sustains them. God, I thank you for just learning that from Christy Alexander a couple weeks ago as she spoke on singleness of Lord, here's a 35-year-old lady and she has a desire to be married, but it hadn't happened yet. But in the midst of where she's at, she's good, she's cool, she's at peace and she's full of joy because she knows you're holding the pen. God, may all of us live open-handed before you. And our hearts fully yielded to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody dance. Everybody enter. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.